From Nashville and Charlotte, this is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Each week, our panel of shrinks takes a look at pop culture through the fascinating lens of psychology. I'm Dave Verhagen here in Nashville. I'm a psychologist, an author, Comic-Con panelist, and a bad magician. And our Charlotte panel includes psychologist, author, AspieCon founder, Comic-Con panelist, Dr. Frank Gaskell. Hello there, Frank. You sound very fancy in that introduction.
Yes. Thank you, Dave.
You're very welcome. And also not quite Dr. Wright, Emma Kate Wright is here. She's a doctoral intern in psychology. She's a contributor to ShrinkTank.com and a watcher of tacky TV shows. Hello, Emma Kate.
Hello.
And finally, Jonathan Hederle is here. He's a licensed professional counselor, an expert on substance abuse treatment, and a certified Asian who has written published book chapters on Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Walking Dead, and he's also served as a panelist for Heroes Con, including this year. And our trending topic today is summer movie previews. We'll talk about what's coming up to movie theaters this summer, why we love going to the movies, and our predictions for box office success. That's in our second segment. But first, Jonathan has rounded up two great stories of psychology in the news that we call Being Human.
So let's talk about the evolution of the bromance. So according to a new study published in the journal Sex Roles, note to self, subscribe to that journal. Straight men are now better able to embrace bromances with other men. The study explored what students understood bromances to be, to what extent they valued these friendships, and how these friendships were carried out. So, Frank, as our serial bromancer, do you think men are becoming more comfortable with male friendship?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as the article states, it's this whole reduction in homophobia and all that kind of stuff, and we're more, you know, comfortable in having close relationships with one another. But I mean, what's the difference between that and having a best friend? I mean, haven't we always had that? We're just calling it something different. We're calling it a bromance when before, okay, I have a best friend. So I think it's just the same animal with a different name.
Yeah, I'm with Frank. I really don't think this is any different than just having a best friend, other than this notion that, oh, you can't be too close if you're a man and a man. And so, you know, the article talks about this too, just the reduction in homophobia.
Well, one thing that for me, like just personally, I would always distinguish, like it's pretty common for young kids, young boys to have a best friend. But the question would be, how many adult men have what they would call a best friend when you kind of move away from that childhood kind of experience? And then as you get older, a lot of your socialization comes from work or your wives, friends, husbands, or even as parents. So I'm wondering if it's more about, even at the adult stage, more adult men are finding that best friend, that bromance. Whereas you're right, growing up, it was just sort of thought about as having a best friend.
So here's your test. Is this a bromance or best friend? So my best friend, Andrew King, he and I would read part of The Gunslinger to each other. Is that best friend or bromance?
Bromance.
That's bromance. Bromance.
We've designed scotch glasses for each other. Best friend, bromance.
Either.
That, to me, could be best friend.
We spooned
so
on a cold winter night.
That's my point. We're just best friends. That's all we're saying. That's all I'm saying. We're just best friends.
No snuggling.
No snuggling. No snuggling.
No spooning.
Not really a fan of that anyway, really.
But even if you did snuggle, it would be okay.
Would it really?
It would.
No, that's when Frank's homophobia would start to be triggered.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you think bromance, though, also, not just, I mean, beyond best friend, bromance has a little connotation of you're kind of crushing on the person a little bit.
Yeah, that's like creepy.
Not in a I'm saying in a non-sexual way, but you're just sort of attracted.
Can you?
You're kind of drawn to them. You're sort of enamored of them. Do you think so?
I mean, yeah, I get that. Like, I kind of wonder, like, what's the origin of this word? Did it come from someone who was, like, super jelly of, like, these two friends that were hanging out?
Where did the origins of super jelly come from? That's what I really want to know.
Were they jealous of, you know, of this great relationship that these two dudes had? And then they're like, oh, they're having, like,
Let's not use bromance and jelly in the same sentence.
Hear, hear, Hederle.
Hear,
hear.
We're not talking about a bromance anymore. We're talking straight to video pay-per-view.
Where's the girl-mance? What is the sister-mance?
That's called experimentation.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Only twice in college.
That's right. Moving on. The next question I have for you guys is, do you think liberals are as tolerant as they think they are? So the political left might consider itself more open-minded than the right, but research shows that liberals are just as prejudiced against conservatives as conservatives are against liberals. So more recent psychological research presented at the annual meeting of the Society of Personality and Social Psychology shows that conservatives, liberals, the religious, and the non-religious are each prejudiced against those with opposing views, but surprisingly, each group is about equally prejudiced. So, Emma Kate, as our resident intolerant person, do you believe liberals and conservatives are equally intolerant?
I do, and I loved that somebody started to talk about this just a little bit more, because the notion is, oh, conservatives, they, you know, they're so closed-minded, they don't want to hear anything that goes against their beliefs, when the reality is, too, on the other end, the more liberal side, if you say something that's not PC, that's not okay. And so it, you know, there's this kind of, it's just an issue where it feels like no one can say anything. And it, this type of research goes to support something called the backfire effect, which in psychology is basically any kind of evidence against your beliefs, if you have a conversation about that, it will actually cause your belief to become more strong, because you then try and find a way to say, nope, that's it. What you're telling me is wrong. It goes against what I believe. So therefore, I feel more passionate about my belief. And so it's just interesting to see that finally we're going to talk about this a little bit more, where there's two sides to the coin here. Everyone basically hates everyone.
And that's what's that called?
The backfire effect.
Yeah, I usually get that after a bad bowl of beans, but yeah. I know what you're saying. I'll tell you, I have never been more chastised. The most I have been chastised is by liberals. The most. And it's just judgy. Everybody judges everybody. And in the world I live in, you know, I don't judge, you know. I live in a colorfully society.
He equally hates everybody.
Society. Right. I believe in equality among dogs and cats, and just everything's cool.
But I think, but we just need to get to a place where it's like, okay, you have different views from me. Cool. And
cause shut your mouth.
No, I will not. But that's what America is. It's supposed to be this melting pot. You're supposed to have all these different views. You're supposed to be offended sometimes. And
I'm
that's just
build
the
a
way
wall,
it is.
Keep you out.
Build it. But yeah, no. So I'm glad that we're starting to have this conversation, because we really do need to figure out how to come together to make a difference, so to speak.
Well, you know, I've told people this before. I am pathologically moderate. You know, I am the definition of moderate. And so I don't consider myself a liberal or a conservative. I lean one way for certain issues and the other way for others. And the truth is that you'll find very open-minded conservatives, and you'll find very open-minded liberals, and you'll find very closed-minded of both. And it's really, as people get to the extremes, what brings them to the extremes is that they're pretty rigid people to start with, right? They're mentally rigid, and they're have their own issues that are going on. And those are the folks we're talking about. It's really folks that the further out you get, the more intolerant they get. And it's on either side. And it's just, it's funny to me that that liberals think that they've got some kind of, you know, corner on the market for tolerance, when if you look at universities now, which are, you know, bastions of liberal thought and liberalism, they are incredibly intolerant places now. They're way more intolerant than they were 10 and 15 years ago, from opposing points of view, differences in perspective. So I'm with you. I mean, this is, I'm glad this conversation is happening.
I don't know how I would have survived college nowadays. I mean, I was all about contrarian thought and being able to openly debate and just be a rebel rouser. So the idea of like somebody accusing me of like microaggressions or anything along those lines, like I would lose my mind at a university.
But I mean, and it's important that like we're having the conversation about it, because there are some people who you say something and it really affects them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they immediately need to hold a puppy and be in a safe place. So learning how to have an adult conversation with someone when you differ in your beliefs versus getting to a point where you're going to yell and then, you know, fire them because they're doing an investigation on you and stuff
you
like
see,
that.
It's really simple. Somebody says something you don't like, go somewhere else. That's all. Just walk away.
Go back to your country.
Just go somewhere else. Like, I don't,
you know, I don't like it.
Why do I care what you think? It's stupid.
What's the deal?
Frank was getting... What's the deal with politically correct? I don't understand.
I don't get it. Frank was breaking into Seinfeld there for a moment. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about our trending topic, which is our summer movie preview, one of our favorite shows. We'll be right back. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast.
Hey, this is Dave Verhagen, one of the hosts of Shrink Tank and also author of the new book, Liberia's Son. Liberia's Son tells the true story of UJ Harris, who, as a child, was caught in the crossfire of an unexpected, brutal civil war in West Africa. When I met UJ and learned his story, I knew I had to write this book. I knew I wanted his story to be told. It's a great story of hope, courage, and resilience. It's available at HeroHousePublishing.com and Amazon.com. I hope you'll consider picking it up.
Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. I'm Dave Verhagen in Nashville, along with Frank Gaskell, Jonathan Hederle, Emma Kate Wright in Charlotte. And our trending topic today is the summer movie preview. We're going to talk about what's coming to theaters this summer, why we love going to the movies, and our predictions for box office success. We'll talk about specific movies in a second, but here's the opening question. Why do we still love going to the movies? And what I mean is, you know, you have to leave your house. You have to pay a bunch of money. You have to sit with a bunch of loud people. And yet we love it. Why? Why do we do it? Especially now that we got, you know, giant screens in our own house and we can sit there in the comfort of our own home and movies are released quicker and we've got Netflix. Why do we still love going to the movies? Which we do.
It's nostalgia, Dave. It's nostalgia. The smell of popcorn and more recently... luxurious seats that have like electronic foot holders,
reserve seating.
And people bring you food and you get to pick your seat. I actually bought 4 tickets to go see Guardians of the Galaxy for me and Maddox so we could sit and not have to sit near anybody else. Thank you. It's the only way.
Insert
to see a movie.
Rich man.
Insert white privilege joke right there.
It was a matinee.
I didn't
buy a drink, and I didn't buy candy or popcorn. So whatever.
I parked in 2 parking spots. One of them was handicapped.
I took the bus
because nostalgia.
Yeah.
I walked. Shut up.
I like Frank talking about nostalgia of the movie theater and that he's made it so he doesn't have to sit near anybody.
Well, right.
That's his nostalgia.
Right. His fear.
I mean, why not?
Is there more to it than that, than just nostalgia?
Yeah. No, I personally enjoy just seeing, especially if it's a good action flick, when a lot of action flicks come out during the summer, there's just something about seeing it on the big screen with surround sound, kind of enjoying the moment when some cool scene comes up and experiencing kind of everyone's excitement and the energy in the theater. There's just something a little different about having a big group of people together experiencing something at the same time.
Yeah, so there, part of it is summer movies. In particular, they're made for the masses. So you generally get a large group of people to go to those types of movies. But I'm a sucker for film and concerts. Like, I love going out and going somewhere and having an all-encompassing experience to where at home, even with, I love my Netflix. I love my flat screen TV, but I can easily be distracted, turn it off, go do something else. I love a giant room darkening, the sound just pulsating, and I just love to sort of just immediately be immersed in that film experience.
Pants on or off there, Hederle?
Yeah.
That got kind of weird.
That's your nostalgia tapping in.
Not just me this time. Woo!
All righty.
Okay, well, anywho, I'll be honest with you. If I had a popcorn maker and... like a candy thing,
don't
and
you?
I had a legit theater with sound. Oh. I would, and I could get the movie when I want. I'd never leave my house.
Well, what Frank is not telling you is that he actually does have a very large inflatable movie projector.
I'm glad
screen.
It said movie projector.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. You do.
You have a very large inflatable pause movie screen.
So the movies that are going to be blockbusters this summer, I'm going to give you a dozen of them. One of them, by the way, is already out. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And
so good.
So you saw it, Frank, already?
Love it.
I'm going this weekend.
Jonathan?
I'm kind of meh.
You're like, crazy.
Yeah.
My kids aren't really interested in seeing it. I liked the first one. It was fun. I mean, I didn't love it. I never felt
something
like I had to go
you.
See it again. So I'm not necessarily dying to see the second one.
You're crazy.
Hmm.
Well, let me give you a dozen films that are coming out. And then out of that, these blockbusters, tell me if any of these are ones you're interested in seeing. We'll talk about some of the smaller films or the sleepers in a second, but we've got Alien Covenant coming out this weekend. We've got Baywatch, Pirates of the Caribbean, Wonder Woman, The Mummy, Cars 3, Transformers, Despicable Me 3, Spider-Man Homecoming, War for the Planet of the Apes, Dunkirk, and The Dark Tower. All right, of those, what are you looking forward to?
Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Except for
Wonder Woman.
Baywatch. I mean, I kind of want to see it just so that I can say I went to go see Baywatch.
Again.
But, yeah.
Again.
I mean, I'm excited about all of it except Wonder Woman.
What?
I'm just over DC. I'm over it. And if the reviews are good, I'll consider it, but I'm just done with DC.
Well, and I get that because of things like Batman versus Superman, but the truth is I feel so great about that trailer and just the fact that this is a female lead. I'm very excited. You know, I love chicks in action flicks, so I am so excited to see this, and I am praying for DC that this goes well.
Did you say you love chicks and action flicks?
Chicks in action flicks.
Oh, okay. Just being sure.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I want it to be good. Quite honestly, I want it to be a great film for my daughters. They're excited to see it. I'm worried just by the track record, but I will also say one of the biggest reservations I had from the trailer is there was a lot of slow-mo camera work.
Yes.
And that, to me, for action
films,
is just... I mean, the last film I think that tackled that with any type of like artistic merit was the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And after that, it's just been... overused, in my opinion. So, you know, Dave, there's a lot of these films I think they have the capacity to be really good and really entertaining, but there's a lot of them that they could equally bomb and it could be a horrible summer. I mean, I broke it down to the list of movies you listed, kind of what I think ultimately what grade they're going to be, and I separated those that are going to be financial hits and those that are going to be bombs. There's really two, maybe three movies I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Spider-Man Homecoming. And I think Marvel's track record at best, or at worst, it'll be an okay to good film. I think if it's one of the top tier, it has the capacity to be a really good, entertaining movie. I'm quite excited for War for the Planet of the Apes. That's
been a
series that surprised me in its first film, and then I thought the sequel improved on the first film, so I'm really interested to see what they do with that. But the only must-see movie for me for the summer is Dunkirk.
Yep.
Christopher Nolan's World War II film. To me, because it's also counter-programming. I know that movie is going to have a heart, it's going to have a brain. Now, whether or not it all works together, but the counter-programming, I looked at this roster, and there's very little counter-programming films. There's actually not that many comedies, which I really like comedies. There's not as many movies geared towards adults, so I feel like Dunkirk is the one that has the capacity to come out on top, not necessarily with box office dollars, but be the best film of the summer.
I'm looking forward to it, given it's Christopher Nolan's first work since Interstellar, I think, right?
Yep.
And so he always puts out very solid work, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I think Dunkirk's going to be the best movie of the summer, but I will tell you, unfortunately, Transformers will make the most money.
No, it will not.
Pirates.
Well, hold that. Hold that thought.
It always does.
Hold the thought. We're going to come to that in the end about our predictions. But I'm with you. I think Dunkirk will be the best movie of the summer. I'm going to go ahead and predict it's going to pick up a bunch of Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, which is rare for a summer movie, but it's going to. And I think it's going to be the early favorite for Best Picture. I'll go ahead and say that. And I'm with you. I think the Planet of the Apes reboot is exceptionally good. And
so good.
Yeah. I mean, I was not looking forward to it. I kind of saw the first one when it was on video and then was like, whoa, that's actually good. We went to the theater to see the second one. I was like, that's really good. This third one looks like it's stellar. So that's actually way up there on the list for me. Let me give you a couple of other movies that are I want you to keep your eye on. And Jonathan, if you have other recommendations too, there's five or six movies that might be sleepers or sneak in there and get some buzz. One of them is called Everything, Everything. I think it might be the fault in our stars for this summer. It's about a girl who has, it's kind of like the Bubble Boy stories, you know, like the kid who can't go outside or they'll die because they don't have an immune system, except it's a girl in this case. And it has all the same, the trailer looks super predictable, but it also looks like it's going to hit that same fault in our stars audience.
That's a Melissa Miller movie,
yeah,
right
it
there.
Is.
Oh, yeah. There's also a movie that is Dimitri Martin's directorial debut called Dean, and it looks like it could be like a Garden State, so keep your eye on that one. There's a Tupac biopic called All Eyes on Me. There's a movie that has gotten great buzz in film festivals called The Big Sick. And then two other movies. One's called Baby Driver. It's Edgar Wright, and you know Edgar Wright does some crazy stuff with The World's End, and I mean, just some of his films. This one has Kevin Spacey and Jamie Foxx and Ansel Elgort and John Hamm. And the word is that some of the car scenes, and I've seen a few of them, are among the best that have ever been filmed. And the story looks pretty good. And last thing is, there's a director named Colin Trevorrow, and he did Jurassic World. He's doing one of the upcoming Star Wars episodes. And he's got a movie called The Book of Henry about a kid genius, and it looks really intriguing. So those are movies I just would say keep your eye on. Jonathan, anything else that you're hearing about or reading about?
Yeah, one other movie, and I will say Baby Driver is a film that I've been keeping tabs on, even though it has the worst title for a movie of all time.
Boss Baby.
But the trailers look great, and it looks like a lot of fun. And for those of you who aren't aware, Edgar Allan Wright did Shaun of the Dead. He did Scott Pilgrim versus the World. He was originally slated to do Ant-Man before creative differences. He exited that. So he made one movie, but for the most part, he has a unblemished track record. But there's a movie coming out, and this is really for Emma Kate, called Atomic Blonde, starring Charlize Theron. And it basically is the female version of John Wick. It's by the same director. She trained with Keanu Reeves when he was training for John Wick 2. If Wonder Woman turns out to be a turd, that is going to be the badass female action film of the summer.
I have to pay attention to that.
And there is this. There's reportedly like a long continuous fight scene on a stairwell that's supposed to be phenomenal.
Yeah, some of the action sequences are supposed to be among the best that have been filmed in a long time, maybe ever. So that's going to be a cool one. All right, anybody else have any films they want to suggest or have people keep their eye on or just to preview? Anything else out there? All right. If you could only see one movie this summer, let's say there was Trump passed a law and an executive order. No, let's not do that. Let's make it happy.
Yeah, let's
keep it fun. Let's just say you decided, I'm only going to watch one movie this summer. Only one. What would it be?
That is really tough for me because I'm loving all the movies that are coming out, but I think it would probably have to be, it's either Dunkirk. I guess it's Dunkirk because I just need to see that on the big screen. The others, I could live renting it.
I'm between Dunkirk and Wonder Woman just because I've been so excited for that film, just in the hopes that it's going to be good.
Somebody's going to be devastated.
I know. I don't want to be, so just let me be excited about it for a little bit longer, okay?
For me, it's Transformers, just kidding. It's Dunkirk.
Yeah, same for me. I think that's the movie that if I only could see one. It had to be that movie. That looks extraordinarily good. Okay, so we're going to predict box office champ. And I will say that's not an easy... Frank's already said it's going to be Transformers. But I'm going to tell you Guardians of the Galaxy, already off to a good start. Don't rule out Pirates of the Caribbean.
Rule it out.
Right. And then the animated films like Despicable Me, Cars 3, and, well, those two in particular. So the Spider-Man film, maybe Dunkirk. I mean, there's a bunch of competition here for the big box office king. So, Frank, you're going to stick with Transformers?
I am, because every year the number of people, my clients specifically, that go see it three times, four times, five times, and those movies, they're just moneymakers. I think it's going to happen.
I'm between Transformers or Pirates of the Caribbean, just because those are both such massive franchises. So just to try to be different, I'm going to go with Pirates.
You guys are all wrong, but that's great. Thank you for playing. It's going to actually come down to most likely one of the two Marvel films, because they've basically come out on top almost every year for the past 10 years, or an animated film, and usually Pixar would corner that, but Despicable Me would really be the animated film of the summer. So I think it's actually going to be... Guardians of the Galaxy, barely. I think it's going to beat out Despicable Me 3. The wild card would be Spider-Man Homecoming, if it really is the surprise fun, if Robert Downey Jr. being in the film actually boosts its box office, because Tom Holland is not a known commodity, and there have been more than our fair share of Spider-Man films.
I'm going to agree with Heatherly on both counts. I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is in first place at the end of the summer, and Despicable Me 3 is in second place at the end of the summer. So we will see. We got it down on tape now. Yeah, we're on record, so we will come back to it and see.
All right. Got it on the cassette tape.
There we go. It's our mixtape. Time for one last break. We'll be back with our doctor's orders, and this is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Hi, this is Dave Verhagen. We're glad you listened to the Shrink Tank Podcast. And if you have room for one more podcast in your life, please check out Blew My Mind. Dr. Craig Pohlman and his panel talk about things in pop culture that blew their minds. It might be a love song, a movie twist, a television finale. It's something that blew their minds. You can hear it on shrinktank.com or download it through iTunes. It's Blew My Mind. Check it out. Back again with Dave Verhagen, Frank Gaskell, Jonathan Heatherly, Emma Kate Wright, and we wrap this all up with our doctor's orders. These are things that we're personally enjoying in popular culture. And Jonathan, what do you have for us?
So FX has started showing season 3 of Fargo. It's from creator Noah Hawley, who's done the first two seasons, and he also is responsible for Legion. It is a great show. Both seasons, full seasons, I've greatly enjoyed. This one has Ewan McGregor playing twins. I highly recommend it. It's just the type of show that was made for me. The aesthetics, the storytelling, the humor, it's right up my alley. Fargo season 3.
I'm with you. I love it. 100% recommended. All right, Frank.
Dave, I would like to formally recommend the Whole 30 diet.
What?
How many pounds have I lost?
Two.
I'm on day 25. I've lost 16 pounds, thank you. And I'm feeling good, and life's good, and I'm done on Monday, but I recommend this for 30 days, but only 30 days.
Welcome to the Shrink Tank Diet Podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hadn't you lost 18 pounds on day 18? Like, are we regressing?
No.
Okay.
Oh. Are you going to
Don't fat shame me.
Yeah, that is fat shame.
All right, Emma Kate.
So for those who really love good dance music, pop, electronic, I just stumbled across a new artist called Grand Theft, and they have a song called Easy Go featuring Delaney Jane. It's a great song if you like when the beat drops. It's a lot of fun. So check it out.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to make a recommendation that is a very cautious recommendation, and it is the Starz series, American Gods. It is a nutty show. It is not for everybody's taste. It's very gory. It's very graphic. It's very weird. But if you think that you might like a show like that, it's definitely worth checking out. It's on Starz. And there's another show that seems to get paired with it a lot called The Leftovers on HBO. They're in their final season. And I tell you what, I have loved every single episode this season. Amazing show. Also, again, recommended with caution because it's just so weird that I think a lot of people aren't going to like it or get it. But if you do get it and like it, you'll like it a lot. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Shrink Tank podcast. We hope you'll check out shrinktank.com for articles, videos, and more about all kinds of things in popular culture. And make sure you check it out on shrinktank.com. Also, follow us on Twitter @shrink_tank and like us on Facebook by searching for the Shrink Tank podcast. Our producer and theme music composer is Sean Beck. In the Queen City, it's Emma Kate Wright, Jonathan Hederle, and Frank Gaskell. And from Music City, I'm Dave Verhagen. Thanks for listening. Please tell your friends about us and make it a good week.